What's up, humans? Welcome to the Human Music Podcast. I'm Luke Rain. My co-hosts are Tesco and Rip Kinney, and we are all music producers, artists, and producer coaches. This show is where we discuss all things music production and interview amazing creators about their origins, their process, and whatever else is coming up. This week is episode 124, How Much Computer Does a Music Producer Need? Rip Kinney just bought a new computer. Bonus, he bought it with streaming money. It does exist. We're discussing what kind of computer he got and why, and what specs we recommend music producers go for. Do you need a Mac or is a PC? Okay, how much do you need to spend? What kind of specs do we recommend? Also, the Escapism visual album from Rip Kinney is dropping September 22nd. It's coming right up, so make sure you go watch that on YouTube. Probably have a link to that in the next episode as well, but you can go to the Rip Kinney YouTube channel and check that out. The song of the week is off Escape album, Rip Kinney's track, Grief. Links to that down below. Run it up, humans. And support our sponsors while you're down there, like the Spice It Up Percussion and Foley Pack from Luke Rain and Porch. That's over 2,000 percussion loops and one-shots with 50 rack instruments for Ableton and for Reason. Dojo TV, where you can get free producer live stream classes from the Dojo Senseis and catch us live every other week doing the podcast. You can jump in on the chat. Tesco's Patreon, where you can check out his Discord, track feedback, private lessons, and much more. Learn from the boy Tesco. The weekly download, where you can learn from Ill Gates and his private weekly goop lessons and get access to over 300 more episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. And guest practices, where you can learn from Seth Drake at the Approach Institute, the best engineer we know, and your first class is free. Hit up thehumanmusicpodcast.com for more episodes, social streaming sites, and sound packs. And let's get on into this episode. Woo!
Hello, people of Earth. This is Tesco with Rip Kinney and Trap Jesus, and you're listening to the Human Music Podcast. Woo!
Human Music Podcast. I like it.
Woo!
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 Woo! Yeah.
What's up, humans? We're back.
Hello.
Yo, I'm so pumped to be back. It's been a little bit of a hiatus for us. Just, you know.
The longest hiatus ever. Yeah.
Like, 1 week.
There was one week missing in 104 plus
123
fucking 120.
Homes. Yeah.
In my head, a year was 60 weeks for a second. That doesn't make sense.
No.
I mean, on a different planet.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mars or some shit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're back. Not on the Martian Music Podcast, the Human Music Podcast. And we're out here.
Available for Martians as well, though.
I mean, yes, it is. You know, it might take a little while for the broadcast to get there. So no spoilers, guys. No spoilers.
We're going to have to figure out how to send the broadcast through light, because that's a lot quicker.
Isn't it already coming through fiber optic cables to a lot of people?
Yeah, but that's an actual cable. And even though we have cables under the ocean, I don't think Elon's put them to Mars yet.
Ooh, what if we like just get like a really powerful flashlight and do Morse code of every word we say?
Bro, I was just going to say that. Or do like little signs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they make laser pens that like pretty much can already do that. So
you'll just be like with the laser. Can you imagine you do like the tiniest little like shift up? You're like drawing a letter and like scan across like the whole planet.
Yeah, it's not even close.
You literally have to set it up
in like the most stable like platform thing that literally aims it at one specific direction. All right. If you are someone that wants to intern for the show to do Morse code with a laser pen to Mars, write us an email. contact@thehumanmusicpodcast.com.
That email
subject line
exist,
laser.
So
yeah, never
fun.
Mind. Never
the
mind.
The Human Music Podcast.
I think that does exist.
Exists. Oh, does it? Actually, probably does. Tesco would know. He said that.
He's the smart one.
Because
we have got a couple emails, but no one's emailed us in a while. So it's crickets, advertisements, and future guests. But, you know, listeners, throw your questions there.
I think we all knew no one was going to email. Anyways,
yeah,
so.
I was kind of counting on it based on the fact that I don't really check that email. If you want to be on the show, text me. If you don't have my number, you might not be allowed on the show yet.
Off the Rails podcast, we set a topic and then never actually talk about it.
Just to stay off the rails for a moment longer, talking about lasers, I was talking to my guy Lawrence, who travels to do lasers for festivals, and he's fucking dope. Also dope, dude. Told me that when we were doing our Renegade up at the top of the Cascade Mountains last month for the window seat situation, he had to be very careful about the angle of those lasers to make sure that it hit the mountain across the way and not the sky, because I think it was Salt Lake City. There was a festival going on, and the laser hit the pilot of an airplane in the eyeball, and the co-pilot had to land the plane.
Wow. It's that powerful.
I found that out right after I noted. I heard the story that when they set up the lasers, there was a dead tree branch hanging down kind of close to the lasers, and it almost set on fire. Started smoldering a bit, and they had to break that branch off.
Dude, I'm so glad you kept us off the tracks for those two fun facts. Those laser facts, those are like top 10 I've ever heard.
Yeah. Wow. I was very impressed.
Wow.
Also, that a free Renegade party for my friend's birthday had like 70K worth of lasers at it. Also, I was impressed by that.
$1,200 per person worth of laser equipment or something.
Happy birthday, Gina. Thanks for throwing that dope party, Sam, a.k.a. Pistachio Jensen, your captain speaking of the window seat situation.
Good old Stashy Jens.
Oh, yeah. But what we're actually talking about today is how most people listen to this podcast on a computer and probably make the music that they make, which is why they listen to this podcast, also on a computer.
True.
And guess who's getting a new computer? You want to guess, Evan?
So if I'm going to guess, I'm going to guess me.
You're right. How'd you know, bro? Oh my Is God, it because you went through the whole process of ordering it and paying money for it?
Woo!
Oh, yes. And
Vostradamus, more like.
We also had a little false start. I had the wrong mic on, and the recording had the wrong mic. So basically the wrong mics for everybody when we started. And so we started over, and this is a way better intro, way more off the rails, way more facts about lasers. But
way more facts about lasers.
That we get the one fun fact, the funnest fact I've heard all day, from Evan again on this version of the recording. Hey Evan, what money did you use to buy this computer?
So when we started before we did the pull up on the episode, and we basically, you know, said I was going to get a new computer, and everyone started clapping. There was a nice round of applause there, and getting a new computer by itself just isn't really clap worthy. But actually, the thing that I am the most excited about this new computer is that it is paid for entirely with money that I made from streaming.
Woo! Popping bottles! Hey! Boom! It's not champagne, it's water.
But yeah, it feels good. It does.
Just good?
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like fucking exquisite?
It does feel fucking exquisite.
I'd imagine, dude. That's like... That's very like inspiring to know that you're working on a machine that like you got because of what you're doing.
It's
like a feedback
meta.
Loop.
Yeah.
Actually, though, so the music has to be twice as bad on that one, right?
At least twice as bad.
Take twice as long. Have twice as much expectations.
Ooh, so you get a new computer after that.
Only use guitar feedback to make every sound for your record. Loop is more meta.
Literally just plug the modular straight into the back of it and crank, like literally blow up the computer on the first day. Record it lighting on fire.
You should just get a computer after each album and then just plug them into each other. Like every album, you're just building like a computer centipede.
Okay, so
Didn't Andrew Wong do both of these ideas already?
Did he?
No, of course not. But it's almost like rule 34C of the internet. If you think of a producer Andrew Wong already did it. Love that guy.
Shout out Andrew Wong.
One problem with that idea, though, is that if it's one computer per album, it's literally never going to be longer than a centipede of one. It's literally one computer centipede.
Evan's traumatized.
One computer per single.
Go stream his album, please, because Evan's going through it.
No shit. In the last five, six months that I was finishing the album, I lost like 15 pounds.
Like, I believe it.
Literally. Yeah. I'm not the type of guy that, like, if I lose weight, that's actually a bad thing for me. I'm just kind of fucking scrawny. There was a lot of dedication that went into the album, and it is going to be years before I would even soften on the idea that another album might exist ever.
Dream escapism so Rip Kinney can eat more.
Yeah.
Yes. Stream escapism so there's protein shakes in my future.
We need more DistroKid royalties directly to go to the grocery store.
One stream equals 1 gram of protein.
That, I think, is actually probably a better rate than Spotify currently has.
Oh, like 100x, dude. Oh, my God.
Milligram, maybe. Yeah, that might be close.
0.0003 milligrams.
Yeah. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about this today because I did, in getting a new computer, I was doing some research. What do I want to get? And I figured that for everyone out there making music on a computer, it would be helpful to talk about, well, the current landscape of at least the computers that I was looking at, and then add Tesco's and Luke Rain's information to that. And we can collectively give you our opinions and advice on what kind of computer you need, what kind of computer we would want, and everything in between.
Is this where we each just alternately scream Mac and PC?
All right, 1, 2, 3.
No, that was funny, but no.
Nah, we don't give a fuck what kind of build you, what kind of.
Yeah, Linux gang.
leave now.
I make everything on an iPad.
Yeah, so I'll start with my experience. I'll start with the computer I just got. Haven't gotten yet, but ordered. It's a Mac Studio, so it's like the
microwave.
The microwave, yeah. Yeah. It's cool because it's like in between like a Mac Mini and like a, the Mac Pro. The new Mac Pro is like prohibitively expensive. And that's like kind of the thing I wanted. Like, I don't need the nicest screen in the world. Like, I found a 4K screen on Amazon from LG for like $450, and that's like a third of the cost of the Apple display, and I don't need like the nicest screen in the world. Like, I just need a good screen, and I want a beast of a computer. And for me, because I like the Mac operating system and it's just efficient and works good all the time, that was, I was gonna go
I don't
Mac
know
route.
About the all the time part, but continue.
So yeah, I'll backtrack into my experience after explaining the computer that I got.
Sure.
Yeah, basically the base model Mac Studio is pretty much everything that I need, except for I wanted 2 terabytes of space on the hard drive because my current iMac is 512. And like by the time the album was done, just the project files with all the bounces and flattening and rendering, literally the Escapism album took up 220 gigabytes of space on my computer.
Yep.
And yeah, I know, dude, please scoff. Like, I was scoffing at those numbers. I was
like, that's like 20 gigs a song,
you
bro.
You
want to
know how many vocal takes I did? 220 gigabytes. No, literally, it's fucked up. But I literally had to like constantly, like every month, like reorganize and delete shit. And like, it was just so inefficient for time. And so I wanted, room to grow. And that's the only upgrade I put on the thing. I did some research. The new RAM setup that they use for the M1 chips, because it's like unified memory, it's like 4x as efficient as like a 32 gigabyte, like, what you would think of is normally 32 gigabytes of RAM for shit that you're doing. It's just more efficient, and so I didn't really need it. I'm not doing like Blender, Cinema 4D, crazy renders. I'm just doing video and music. Didn't need any more GPU cores because 24 seems like plenty, and everyone that basically has done the test between 24 and 32 or whatever didn't need them. So yeah, that's why I got that one. But that was kind of the genesis of why we're even talking about this, but that's the machine that I got for what I would think is a beast for music production and able to be, you know, pretty high performance for the next 5 years in video editing as well. I'm sure file formats and shit will eventually make it shitty 5 years from now, but that's why I chose that one. Now, my experience with why I wanted a Mac is basically in the past, I was basically a PC or die guy for a long time. And I had a PC that by all means should have been enough to just destroy Ableton, and it would just fuck up and glitch and crash and lag and like never work that good. My buddy bought a $3,000 PC, was a laptop, like spec wise should have fucking destroyed. And I had just got a new MacBook Pro at the time, and it was a 2012 model. It was like 750 gigabyte hard disk, like 8 gigabytes of RAM, and my computer with specs that were like a quarter of his laptop outperformed in Ableton. Like, we opened up the same project and tried to play it, and his would fucking glitch and fuck up and mine would play. Now, there might be other factors at work here, but in general, my experience is that Mac with the same specs is more efficient in its operation and therefore works smoother more often. That is why I've continued to be a Mac guy. That's what my current computer is, an iMac 2015, whatever. And I have really liked Macs for that simple reason. It turns on and works how I want it to more often. There's less weird errors when you install stuff. You don't get random pop-ups with stuff you don't understand breaking most often. What do you guys think?
Man, I haven't owned a Mac inside of this century, so okay. I kind of got no comment, man.
Sure.
I've had really good luck with the PCs I've had. You know, I've heard some horror stories about people's stuff not working, but then I've also heard some Mac horror stories of people just getting like lemons that always screw up, and they paid like high key three times what I paid for the same specs and a bunch of problems. So
yeah, it's like, tough because like lemons happen with both, yeah, exactly, brands, you know, like you can get a lemon, like that's hard to.
I will say, I think I've only gotten a Macs that were lemons. And I'm unbiased to both. I'm currently on a Mac that's working fine, but I was pretty discouraged from Mac. So, like, I work in software, and I've had a couple of jobs where I would get, like, a top-of-the-line Mac to use for my time there. And they would more often, not more often than not, but definitely more notably glitch out than any of my Windows machines. And I'm talking weird stuff like GUI, just like getting stuck, not disappearing till you reset, pressing up on the volume, and then it just forever keeps increasing the volume and playing that little annoying tick sound until you restart it. Just stupid little stuff that is an inconvenience and requires a full restart. I've never had that. Nah, I can't say I've never had that with Windows, but not to the same extent. I also have my Mac randomly sometimes restart, although I'm guilty of never restarting, so take that as you will.
Dude.
But I've never had a Windows computer turn off.
Let's just pause here for a second. You need to shut down your computer.
Yes, I understand.
At least a few times a week. Like, I sometimes if I'm like in the middle, I got 20 tabs open, whatever, like. And you can even reopen Windows on a Mac.
Look, I'm not saying that's not the standard thing to do. I'm just saying I've neglected both Mac and PC, and the Windows handles neglect way better.
Yeah, sorry. That and being said, I wasn't directing that at you. I was just making.
Yeah,
sure
I know. I'm just so guilty of it.
Reminder, like I restart my computer like once a day if I'm in between like difficult projects, just because I know it'll fucking work better.
I mean, yeah, you're definitely not wrong. All that being said, I have a Windows laptop currently and a Mac desktop, and if I do upgrade, I'll probably switch to a Mac laptop just because the UI is nicer, and for music, video, any artsy stuff, it just works better is just nicer. I don't know how else to put it. That being said, I use both kind of equally in my day to day. But I think for like music, artsy stuff, if you're photoshopping videos, blah, 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 Mac is just nice. Shit just works. It's smooth. Yeah. And yeah. most of the laptops and computers in the last couple of years, or like I'm running a Mac Mini, which is awesome. It was like $1,000 for a desktop. Yeah, 16 gigs RAM, 512 storage, SSD. Not bad. And I get it off the refurbished because
it
works equally well, not been used besides for like display, and they touch it up before they send it to you. I haven't had any issues. And that kind of leads me to my last downside with Mac is the prices are just disrespectful. Like, I would rather Apple just tell me to go fuck myself than to just make me fuck myself buying one of their computers. The refurbished site is probably the only place where you could get one reasonably. Or if you're in the elites of society, then you probably can get like 10. And what I said doesn't apply to you. But as a normal civilian, I just feel like it's a very, very big investment when you go the Mac route. And to Luke's point, you kind of feel like I could get these specs for like a quarter of the price.
Dude, and like I couldn't understand that anymore. Like literally, I felt that exact like specs for the price. You're going to get blown out of the water trying to get a Mac by like a PC specs for price will destroy a Mac. But I just haven't had the specs actually translate into performance like
you would think.
That being said, like, what do you guys think, you know, the average person that really wants to take music production seriously, like, you know, you're fucking committed to this, like, what do you think you should budget for a computer nowadays? I'll start with my opinion, like $2,000. Like the base model Mac Studio is like $1,899 or $1,999, whatever, with a 512 SSD. I think for $2,000 you could get an absolute fucking beast of a computer.
For sure, probably. I mean, shit, the one I'm on right now I bought 3 years ago for like $1,300. It's got 16 gigs of RAM, dedicated graphics card, a terabyte SSD in it, 17-inch monitor. And aside from a couple little weird wonky issues that work themselves out on updates, it's been absolutely wonderful for me. I even got after tax and the 3-year protection plan that I've never actually had to use. It was still like only $1,800. And so, you know, shouts out to my Lenovo Legion gaming PC, laptop. Yeah, it's really solid, but you know, yeah, like, you know, $2,000 you could probably definitely get away with. And if you wanted to go PC, half of that. I just saw a similar one. It was also a Lenovo Legion at Costco today for like, it was just under $1,200. Really similar specs. i7, SSD, 16 gigs of RAM, dedicated NVIDIA card that, you know, it looked fucking solid. 16-inch screen. I was like, damn, man, you know, if mine kicks the bucket, I'm coming to Costco.
Check Costco. That's not a bad place to look. And honestly, I hate to even name a price because for real, if you are saving multiple versions of your project and committing as you go and bouncing stuff to audio, I'm not saying that it definitely won't help and you'll never run into hiccups, but I think you can make something happen for under $1,000.
True.
Between $500 to $1,000, I would say don't spend less than $500. But also keep in mind that if you can hold off a little longer and put in more money, this is going to be what you work on for the next couple of years. So fortunately, I'm in a position where I can invest into that. But I've also made that a priority for so long and worked on so many shitty setups that I really, really believe it doesn't matter. And even now, I still went with like the Mac Mini because it has what I need for the lowest price. And I don't think you really, really need too much. I think it's really easy to get carried away with the gear, but if you got the means for it, do it.
If you're not,
it takes plugins for sure. Will do it too. Mm-hmm. Like eat up a lot of processing, but like, but also don't have 500 like, plugins open.
If you have $500 for your computer, use some stock plugins. You'll be fine. Yeah, Ableton's got definitely great stock plugins. Like,
yeah, I mean that is really good. Like to note, like it's not a dollar value that you necessarily need to have to like get a good machine, and like you can make anything work. There's no people generally want to know like how much should I save up if I really want a nice computer. But that being said, like if I was to buy like a budget minded computer to try and do exactly what I'm doing today, it would be a Mac Mini, like you said. Like it does everything you need it to.
You know what? I have a better answer for you.
Okay.
I would say if you're doing anything vocal, guitar, recording based, now when I think about it, the real reason I got the Mac Mini, yes, I was considering going down the Mac route, but a huge reason was because I could plug an Apollo into it. And a lot of Windows computers don't have
a
capability for plugging in the Apollo because they don't have That's Thunderbolt. Real. So if you're recording anything, guitar, vocals, whatever, get a Mac Mini's $1,000, and Apollo's like, you know, another $1,000, $1,500 for $2,500. You could have a setup to last you your whole career for that kind of stuff. And I'd say if you're doing electronic music and stuff like that, you could get another really high quality interface that isn't nearly as much as the Apollo, a solid computer, and whatever synths and stuff you want instead of the Apollo. And you could just record that straight into the interface. I think there's kind of multiple routes you could go as a producer, and depending what style of music you do, maybe you'll rather not have as strong of an interface, but have more RAM on your computer and stuff to run more like software synths, or maybe you want like modular stuff. But if you're doing vocals or anything like that, Apollo is like really industry grade because it allows you to print vintage plugins into the signal as you're recording.
I want to probably end us out here with a speed round. How much RAM and how much storage do you need? Go, Tesco.
Storage is a tough one. I personally need a terabyte, I've learned. Yeah. 512 is like kind of cutting it. RAM, I'd say at least 8 gigs. I have 16. I try not to go the bare minimum. I want my shit to last me 5 years at least, but 8 is perfectly fine.
I would recommend 16 gigs of RAM. That way you just like anything a music producer does, you will never have problems. I've definitely had applications when I had my previous computer was an 8 gig computer, and it ran up against the wall sometimes. And it was a cold bummer just watching your shit slow down because you ran out of RAM. I also recommend a terabyte hard drive SSD if you can swing it. They don't have to spin. So it's way faster read and write speeds. And again, just like these little things that don't make your shit lag are worth spending the money on just for your like enjoyment of using this thing you're going to use basically every day for the next however many years. And then I also like, again, like if you can get one with its own graphics card so that your processor and stuff doesn't have to do that as well as recording, writing music and running plugins, like, It's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I looks like we're all in absolute agreement here because I was going to say 16 and a gigabyte SSD. I will say like if you have
gigabyte
a choice,
SSD.
Sorry.
Welcome to 2002.
It makes that drive that small.
Big baller.
Anyways, terabyte SSD, 16 gigs. But I will say if you have a choice between a 512 terabyte SSD and a 2 terabyte hard disk, just do the SSD. Like every person that I know, every computer that I've had, like the hard disk shit fucks up when that thing is spinning in the computer really fast. Like eventually it wears out quicker, it glitches more, the SSD
gets hotter,
is quieter, makes less heat, and just works better. Mm-hmm. If you need more space, I literally have 2 1-terabyte SSD drives that are external that are sitting on my desk so that I could have enough space to run video files and all this shit on my computer.
Yeah, I bought a 4 terabyte external hard drive, and I'm very glad about that because then I can just anything I'm not like currently working on, I can just archive over there all the back episodes of the podcast and those, and you know, I'll just like every once in a while like go to my projects folder in my music folder and just like sort by date. Like, okay, anything that I haven't touched in a year, I'm just batch dragging over to the archive folder. And if I need it, it'll be there, but I haven't touched it in forever, so it'll be chill.
What I will say on that is that, like, use, like you said, like a 4 terabyte external. You can get a hard disk external 4 terabytes for like $50. Use that for your Time Machine or your backups or whatever, your archive storage. And then you can get a 1 terabyte SSD Samsung T5 or whatever for like $100. And it's fast enough that I literally run projects straight from that into Ableton without lag. Straight from that into literally Premiere to do video editing. Yeah. Like, that is a great option if you don't have enough space. But yeah, that's sounds like that's pretty much the discussion for today, boys.
Yeah, very, very nice. In and out, boom, bang. We got to talk about lasers and streaming royalties and protein.
Spinning discs.
I was at a festival this weekend. It was a very circusy kind of festival. There's a lot of circus acts, and I got to watch a dude spin plates. It's fucking exquisite and hilarious. It's wonderful.
Fucking exquisite.
Yeah.
Sounds dope.
Fucking A, lads.
I'm gonna have fucking exquisite just to get back to how it feels to buy a computer off of royalty money.
Exactly. Sounds like a bow to me.
Amen. Peace, humans.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace among worlds.
Okay, peace among worlds, yes.
Woo! I like it.
All right, humans, thank you so much for being here with us. 124 episodes deep. Feels so good. Shouts to Rip Kenny on getting that new computer with streaming money. And make sure next week-ish you go check out the Escapism visual album dropping on YouTube September 22nd. In the meantime, go run up that song Grief. It's on Spotify, Beatport, Apple Music, YouTube, and a whole bunch of other places. So make sure you stream that, support, share it, show your friends, support our sponsors too. The Spice It Up Percussion and Foley Pack that me and Porch made that has over 2,000 percussion loops and one-shots, Foley sounds, and 50 rack instruments from both Reason and Ableton. Dojo TV, where you can get free producer live stream classes from the Dojo Senseis and check us every other week live. Probably not like the day this drops though, because I'm going to be on a road trip and I'm not going to be there for that shit. But, you know, in 2 weeks from right now, when you're hearing this, if you're listening to the day of, we'll be back. And then the weekly download, our dude Ill Gates just hit 300 episodes. What? 300 episodes in the weekly download. You get every new episode for just $5 a week. That's $20 a month. And you get instant access to the entire catalog. You can watch as many as you want. And there's tons of cool downloads, Ableton resources, and so much stuff that even if you don't use Ableton is so valuable. I don't use Ableton and it's so valuable to me. And finally, guest practices. We can learn from Seth Drake at the Approach Institute. He's the best engineer we know, and your first class over there is free. Check out the Human Music Podcast for more episodes, socials, free sound packs, etc. Until next time, peace. Peace among worlds.